All right. Remember the theme of 2 Corinthians? Somebody give me that theme. Encouragement and troubling times. That's our theme. We come to a passage of Scripture, and the context of it is chapter 3, verse 7, all the way to 4:6, where Paul talks about the glory and superiority of the new covenant over the old covenant that the Judaizers and the false teachers wanted to cling to and force upon the people. Now, the key theme of this passage that we're going to be looking at today in chapter 4, 1 through 6, is don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. In fact, you see it twice in chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 16. We faint not. Paul literally is saying here, we do not lose heart. Can I tell you that many of God's people have lost heart? Don't lose heart. Now, there's certainly many reasons why Paul could lose heart, many discouraging situations in his life and ours too. But we'll see in our text this morning that quit was not in the word, the vocabulary of the Apostle Paul. What was it that kept him from fainting in the conflicts and the trials of life? Because he understood what he possessed in Jesus Christ, and he understood the responsibility that Christ had given him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So instead of complaining about all his hard times, he focused on what he did have. He didn't focus on what he did not have. That's the problem with many of God's people. Our focus is in the wrong place. We're not focusing on him. And we focus on our own problems. So Paul rejoiced in what he did have. And you and I can do the same, because the word of God still works. Amen? Amen. So in our preaching text today, we see this glorious ministry that we've been entrusted with. Now notice our text in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And those that can, if you will, let's stand. And let's read this as we talk about don't lose heart. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but with manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, of course that's little g, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined it in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning as we open and expound this text, that we'll see why we cannot quit, why we don't have a false ministry like the Judaizers, and we also see why we are to point people to you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Because we have this ministry, number one, we don't quit. You see it there in verse 1? Look at it again in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, because he just got through talking about what he wants us to have a foundation on, because he's fixing to make application, right? Therefore, what is that therefore? He says, seeing that we have this ministry, what ministry, he says. Here was the great Apostle Paul here. In chapter 1, verse 8, he confessed that the trials in Asia that he'd experienced had almost brought him to despair and even unto death. So in spite of all the great gifts and vast experience that the Apostle Paul had, he was still human like you and I. Don't ever think that. I want to say it over and again. These people in the Bible were flesh and blood just like you and I. But it was a matter of where they put their focus. It was a matter of where they put their faith. He was a frail human being. How could we not lose heart when we're involved in such a wonderful ministry? God has given us this kind of ministry. Notice again in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? The ministry of the new covenant here. The ministry that takes people to heaven, the minute that convicts them of their sin and gives them the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins and gives them heaven and gives them a new direction and a new focus on their life. Because we have this ministry, how can we faint? How can we faint? God has called us to this ministry. You have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church has been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not here for our personal recreation. We are not here to be entertained. We are here to be equipped to go out there and be used by God to build His church. Amen. Case closed. Period. That's it. Amen. We're not here to build our kingdom. We're not here to do things way we want them and worship all kind of other things. We are here for one purpose, and that is to make manifest this glorious ministry of the new covenant here. So Paul here says here that he has called me, he has given me a divine call, and I want to tell you something. With the divine call comes divine enabling. God will enable his servants to do what he calls them to do. He gifts us, he enables us with his power. He doesn't send us out hopeless and hapless. He sends us out with the power of the Holy Spirit and equips us to do what he's called us to do. Number one, because we have this ministry, the Bible says that we don't quit. We don't lose heart. We get discouraged. And yes, we get disappointed. I get disappointed and I get discouraged. But we don't lose heart. Because when you think about what God has given you and what God has entrusted with you, you can't lose heart. Yes, we live in a wicked world. We saw that this morning when you woke up, if you heard about the mass killing in Orlando. We live in a very wicked world. But in the midst of this wickedness, in the midst of this darkness, we're to shine the glorious gospel forth, right? Because people, this is the only hope they have. When you think about, though, Jason told me a while ago, the number is up to 50. In this gay bar in Orlando called The Pulse, gunmen went in, started shooting, and last count we got, 50 dead, probably a lot more than that. You know what grieves my heart about that? Because here they are in a gay bar. They did not repent. They're in hell today. That's what should grieve our heart. Amen. It should not make us happy when lost people die without Christ, right? It grieves our heart, but we don't quit. I know that there's temptation to quit and just give up and throw our hands up and say, oh, well. But I'm telling you, the judgment seat of Christ hasn't taken place yet. You better not quit. Number two, not only do we have this ministry that enables us not to quit, but we don't deceive. In verses 2-4, here the Apostle Paul is talking about integrity and honesty in the ministry. We ought to handle the gospel with integrity. We ought to handle what we've been entrusted with integrity and not dishonesty as these Judaizers. You know what a Judaizer is? It's someone who wants to hang on to the old covenant and say you got to be circumcised, you got to become a Jew first before you become a Christian. You still got to have Christ, but you still got to keep all the whole law. That's a Judaizer. That's a false teacher. And we still have them today in forms of the Church of Christ or Jehovah Witness or whoever, the Mormons. They're still with us today, Seventh-day Adventists. We still have this type of people with us today. But we don't deceive. Notice verse 2 let's read verse 2 first of all in our text. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. In other words, I don't quit. I don't lose heart. But also, I'm renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. Brother Ray touched on that this morning. Sin no longer shocks us, folks. As we read about these things in the paper, it no longer, we just turn the page and go on to the funny papers. It's not funny, right? This is serious business. Amen. And he says, because of that, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? Well, Paul here was alluding to the Judaizers who wrote these words, when he wrote these words, I believe. Many false teachers today to claim to be the only way. They claim if you're not a member of their church, you're going to hell. And Now, hopefully we as Baptists don't believe that. You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven, right? Amen. You have to know Jesus, right? Amen. If they don't bring the doctrine of Christ, you are going, right? And I hope we don't believe that Pentecostals are the only people going to heaven, right? No, it's many people that claim the name of Christ if they hold true to the doctrine of Christ. But false teachers handle God's word in deceptive ways. You know, they're easy to spot, right? If you know your Bible, you can spot them, right? If you don't know your Bible, you can't spot them. That's when you run up to your preacher and say, "Preacher, tell me about this." No, if you know your Bible, you don't have to run to your preacher. I want you to run to me, and I want you to do those things. But know the Bible, and that way you'll know the counterfeit when it comes. Because they can prove anything from the Bible. You know that? You can take a text and twist it all you want to and make it say it's okay. You reason it away. You reason sin away and your rationality. And next thing you know, it's okay. Because you twisted the scriptures. And this is what these Judaizers did. They would twist the scripture out of context. If you notice these guys on TV that are not gospel preaching preachers, they always take their text from the Old Testament and they twist it around out of context and make it say whatever they want them to say. I can take a text out of Isaiah, I can twist it around and tell you that God wants you to give $1,000 this morning. Now, if you gave $1,000 this morning to the Chester Joash, and I'm not talking about you, okay? But you can take it and twist it around out of context and violate your own conscience and violate the Holy Spirit. The Bible must be interpreted according to the fundamental rules of interpretation. You know what happens when we take a text out of context? Well, number one, we're going to make the Bible say what we want it to say. Boy, I tell you, that's a great temptation to make the Bible say what we want it to say. The plain sense of the Scripture is the sense of the Scripture. Read it like it's written. It's literature, yes, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't understand it really until you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Pete called me this past week and wants us to pray for him. I shared that on Wednesday nights. But one of the things that somebody was wanting him to do to start backyard Bible studies in their neighborhood. Listen, lost people cannot understand the Bible. They got to be saved, right? What you ought to do is share the gospel with them, right? And so he kind of goes against that, and I don't blame him for that as well. But once we take the text out of its context, see, the author has one intent. And if you take it out of its context, you're going to come up with whatever you want to come up with. And so then you make the Bible say what you want it to say. That's the way the homosexuals do. They have gay churches, and I don't want to be on them today because it don't matter if you're a homosexual or a heterosexual. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell, right? It don't matter if you're a bank robber or a swindler or a homosexual, you're still going to hell. And I have probably been guilty of that. I come down on them pretty hard. But folks, that person out there that has done good but never made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ that brings them to church, that person's going to be in the same place as the queers. Amen? Without Jesus Christ. So we make the Bible say what we want it to say. And then if we take it out of context, we read into the text what's not there, right? You cannot read it between the lines in the text. You cannot preach what's not in the text, right? You preach what's in the text, right? I cannot read into the minds of the authors and their intents and their opinions. I interpret the text in light of what's in the text. I had a woman that talked to me not long ago. She says, "Well, I know it doesn't say that in that text, but it could be." I said, "No, there's no could be to it. If it's not in the text, it's not something you need to believe, right? You can't take between two words and put in all kind of stuff and make it have its own meaning, right? This stuff will help you if you'll listen this morning." So Paul's contrasting himself with those that wanted to deceive. Paul says, "I didn't deceive." Paul had nothing to hide in his ministry. It was open, personal life, nor in the preaching of God's word. Everything was open and honest. There was no deception or distortion. You know, these people could know Paul was teaching the truth by looking at their looking at the letter that was written to him. This is what Paul is teaching. I see it right here. But these Judaizers were guilty of twisting scripture to fit their own preconceived ideas and interpretations. And I was about to mention to you a while ago, you know why there's gay churches? Because they take certain texts out of the Bible. Jonathan and David had a gay relationship. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they were inhospitable. And they make the text say what they wanted to say. And we're guilty of the same thing. Nobody wants their relatives to go to hell. Amen? But to keep them out of hell, we change the text to make it say what we wanted to say. But here you have ignorant people falling willingly to follow these teachers, these false teachers. Why? Because 2 Timothy 4:3 says in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. Who is they in that context? It's not the world, it's the church. Those who profess to be saved will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers that tickle their ears. And that's what we have today. Well, I know this church, and I know First Newark proclaims the gospel. Amen? Amen? But folks, don't get to feeling like everybody out there is, because they're not. So if Paul, verse 3 and 4, was a faithful teacher of the word, and even Jesus was faithful, many did not follow him, and many did not believe the gospel, but did not believe this faithful teacher, we asked our question, why do not more believe the gospel from Paul and from Jesus? You know, I'm not trying to justify anything here today. But if they wouldn't believe Jesus and Paul, I'm no better for them not to believe me, right? Did I make that plain? Amen. People reject my message all the time. But they rejected the very Son of God, right? And they rejected the Apostle Paul as well. Why do we have so many false converts, and why does it seem that they're the ones being successful and growing a crowd? You know, we're growing a church. They're growing a crowd. Why are the false teachers so successful in winning converts? Look in verse 3 and 4 again. But if our gospel be hid, is it hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why do people? Well, let me share with you some things here out of this text about why people do not believe the gospel. Well, number one, because the mind of the lost sinner is blinded by Satan in our text. And fallen man, to them it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe a truth. I'm going to say this, and I'm only going to say it one time. We talk about the free will of man. Man does have a free will to operate in the confines and the parameters of his deadness and his lostness. What decision would you expect a lost man to make if he's dead? The light of the gospel must prick his heart. That's what the text says, right? Are y'all still following me? I'm going to keep you out early enough now. If you keep on doing this, we're going to wait. Those who are lost or perishing cannot understand the message of the gospel. Number three, Satan does not want the glorious light of the salvation to shine in their hearts. He'll do everything he can to keep them lost, right? And as the god of this age and the prince of this world, Satan keeps lost sinners in the dark. But the sad thing is that Satan uses false teachers, just like these Judaizers here, to deceive people. Oh, they're out there deceiving millions, folks. Every time that TV comes on and they're watching Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland, millions are being deceived to send their money into these people, right? And I'm telling you, it's so sad that people don't know enough about the Bible. They're so gullible. Well, what about that? Always, what does the Scripture say, right? And I appreciate Brother Marcus being here this morning, giving me some amens off of his hospital bed. You're guilty. You're ashamed. You should be giving some amens, right? many of the people who today belong to cults were originally members in good standing of Christian churches. This is how you explain it. So in light of our ministry that we have, and we've been entrusted with this glorious ministry, we don't quit, right? We don't deceive. We handle the Word of God in the church with integrity and honesty. And then number three, we don't self-promote. Look in verses 5 and 6. I can already tell my throat, I'm preaching a little louder than I usually preach, therefore I'm getting a scratch. Verse 5 and 6. We don't self-promote. Again, Paul is contrasting himself here with the false teachers. For we preach not ourselves. Let me say that again. Let me read that again. For we preach not ourselves. Why did he say that? Because the false teachers preach themselves, right? He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't self-promote. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, right? This is a personal peeve with me. Is that a word, peeve? We'll make it a word. You know, if I was to go out from this church and start an evangelistic crusade, I would not say, come here, the Kenneth Burgess Ministries. The focus is not on me, right? You see what I'm saying? I don't want to name a ministry after me. I just think it takes the focus off where it needs to be. So we receive this ministry from Christ. It keeps us from being a quitter, yes, and a deceiver, but it keeps us from being a self-promoter. We preach not ourselves. If we were to go forward in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 through 18, we would see that these false teachers enjoyed preaching about themselves and glorying in their achievements. I don't have any achievements to glory in, right? No, you don't either, right? But these false teachers wanted to elevate themselves above Jesus Christ and point the people to themselves. Instead of being servants to the people to try to help the people, they became dictators who exploited the people. This is how you can always tell a false teacher. They exploit the people and make them, put them under the bondage of the law and make them do what they think they need to do to get saved or keep themselves saved. Paul certainly was a man who practiced genuine humility. He did not trust in himself. He did not commend himself. He did not preach himself. One of the dangers of the preacher and a teacher is to get up and talk about what they did. You don't want to hear that, do you? Okay, now we're 10 to 12. We're on target unless y'all don't speak up. Right? Y'all don't want the preacher to talk about himself, do you? Okay, good. Thank you. You get a free lunch today. And Brother Ben's going to buy it. Whoever said that. We don't preach ourselves. One of the dangers of the preacher is getting in the pulpit and brag on his family. Now, my family happens to be members of the church, but when I refer to them, I need to refer to them as a member of this church. You won't want me to get up here every week and tell you how smart John and Amy are and how beautiful my grandchildren are and how smart my son-in-law is. I know he's smart. He told me he was. You wouldn't want me to do that, would you? That's one of the dangers. We don't promote ourselves. We promote Christ. In fact, one of the dangers is that I have not mentioned them because you don't have this platform to come up here and brag on your family, right? But another thing the preacher or teacher doesn't need to do, he doesn't need to talk negative about his family in the pulpit. We don't want to air out our dirty laundry in our family before the people. What they want to hear is the Word of God. Amen? I can get up here and tell you a lot of things, but I'm not. You're here to hear the Word of God, right? So this is one of the dangers of the teacher. And Paul here sought to lead people to Jesus Christ and to build them up in the faith. He could have formed a fan club for himself and take advantage of all the weak people. What about this? What if they had Twitter back when the Apostle Paul was preaching? Can't you see it? Hashtag apostle, right? And he'd have thousands. And what do they call people who follow people on Twitter besides dumb? Twitter followers, right? Are y'all with me? How many of you have? Well, no, don't tell me. You see, what if Paul was on Facebook? Think about it. Oh, Silas, what's our Facebook count look like today? Oh, Paul, we reached a million followers. That's good. That's good. How many tweets we got? Well, Silas says, if you mean by tweet, this little thing, hashtag apostle, or if you mean a little canary bird, you see how stupid it is. Paul did not elevate himself. That's what I'm trying to say. He rejected this kind of ministry that elevates the preacher or teacher over the people. So when we think of this glorious ministry that we've been entrusted with, we can't quit, folks. Some of you have left from where you were at when you came into this church. You have moved. Okay? I'm just being honest with you today. You're not where you were at. The Lord didn't move. You moved, like Faye tells me. She's over there by the door handle on the other side. And I said, I didn't move. You moved, right? You see what I'm saying? Oh, it starts with missing a Wednesday night, doesn't it? Then more regular on Wednesday nights. Then a few Sunday nights. And then more Sunday nights. And then next thing you know, we see you have time on Sunday. Your pastor is telling you the truth this morning. We have moved from where we were. And we are to not quit. Don't be deceived. Handle this word of God with integrity and honesty, and the ministry that God has given you with integrity and honesty. And without the sake of trying to elevate my family, one thing our youth know, that when you come to church on Sunday, you're going to hear the word of God. Amen, church?
Amen.
From your teacher, Brother John. Right? He's not going to recreate you. Is that a word? He's not going to entertain you. He's not going to be a boys and girls club with you. He's going to open the Bible and teach you the text. Right? That's what the church is. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Right? We don't quit. We don't deceive. And we don't self-promote. Let me put it another way. Persevere, integrity, and point people to Jesus. Well, Pastor, I point them to church, but somehow or another, folks, we got to move beyond that and point them to Jesus. That's why I don't like this little thing that's going out there that says something about only use words when necessary or something like that. No, you share the gospel, right? You live your life before them. Hey, your life has never saved anybody. Your life cannot save anybody. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
But we don't want to hinder the gospel by our life. See, we don't want to get it backwards. Father, I thank you this morning for your word.